Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5 as we continue our ongoing study of the book of Romans. Yesterday, January the 27th, was an unlikely anniversary. January the 27th, 417 A.D., how many years ago? 1,601 years ago? A man by the name of Pelagius was excommunicated from the church. And in 431 AD at the Council of Ephesus, Pelagianism was confirmed as a heresy. What does that have to do with us? Well, we're studying Romans 5, verses 12 to 14, speaking about the origin of sin and death. I love these little books, Christian history. It says, it's easy to see the appeal of a doctrine propounded in the 5th century. It went like this. When Adam fell, he fell alone. His sin was his alone, and the consequences were his alone. His children, born as innocent as the first dawn over Eden, came forth from the womb of Eve with pure souls and the God-given ability to live lives fully pleasing to their Creator. They could choose obedience, or they could follow the errant example of their father Adam. There was nothing wicked in their nature to drag them toward the latter. Sounds hard to believe, doesn't it? This heretical view was taught by Pelagius, an influential Irish monk, opposing the church's doctrine of original sin. Many people followed Pelagius. His views were a plague upon the church. Augustine, the great theologian of the early church, fought it vigorously, debating and opposing Pelagius, both privately and publicly. For 25 years, a theological war was waged. Pelagius said, humanity is born without sin, free to obey or disobey the commands of God. Augustine said, wait a minute, what does the scripture say? Adam's fall in the garden resulted in original sin and the total depravity of humankind. But Pelagius conceded that sin appeared to be universal, but only because people give in to the evil example of others and choose to do wrong. He claimed it was possible for a person to live a sinless life as Christ did. Augustine countered it was impossible to have any victory over sin apart from the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Pelagius believed that anyone who chose to trust in Jesus and was baptized for the forgiveness of the sins already committed could march obediently toward heaven in his or her own strength. Augustine says, that's not what I see in the scripture. It's only by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that any of us are enabled to live for God. Pelagius insisted people had the freedom of choice. They held their own fate in their own hands. And Augustine said, the scripture says, God's sovereignty and election are the first cause of our salvation. Pelagius was convicted as a heretic, and Pelagianism was declared a heresy. And yet it still lives on. Usually more in a modified form called semi-Pelagianism. We still have the ability to do all those things. And yet the Scripture, what does it say? It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. Well, how does that relate to our passage here today? Well, this says, starting in Romans 5, verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Back in verse 10, it said, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That's the only way that we can be saved. And so verse 12 begins a conclusion. Therefore. And through this section, verses 12 through 21, we're going to see that in Adam, we all died, and we're all sinners. But those who are in Christ have eternal salvation. What's the difference? Well, we all start off being in Adam. Those who are in Christ have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and been transferred into the kingdom of light through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. A working of God's grace. So what a difference. We no longer want to be in Adam. We want to be in Christ. Salvation is not a matter of forgiveness only, but of a new life that we have by being in Christ. This is a key section here in the book of Romans. It sort of sums up everything that's gone before, tells us where this sin came from. And then it introduces our union with Christ, our oneness with Him. We were under wrath in Adam, but now we are new life in Christ. Now notice verse 12, after it says, therefore, it says, just as. Just as. That means there's a comparison here. It's interesting that it never completes the comparison at the start here. In fact, after verse 12 in my version, it has a big hyphen, big dash. Some versions have parentheses. And put a parenthesis from verses 13 to 17. And then verse 18 starts another therefore, continuing on with a thought. So 12 introduces this comparison. Verses 13 explains how sin spread to all men. Then, Lord willing, next week, verses 15 and 17 will explain how Adam prefigures Christ. Verses 18 and 19 will complete this comparison. And verse 20 and 21, sort of a postscript, and it answers the question for the Jews, well, what about the law? What about the law? But the main principle here is, as we were related to Adam, we're sinful. But then it's going to go on and say, but as we're related to Christ, we have new life. We have new life. So we start in verse 12 with the origin of sin. Where did sin come from? Why is there sin in the world? This is an important thought. And with sin comes two things. The fact that sin is universal and that death is universal. Man tries to explain these things away. After all, we're just a creature that has been involved and we just haven't been made perfect yet. They don't like the idea of sin. They reject it. We just haven't developed enough yet. They go to those tribes that are so heathenish and say, well, they just haven't developed yet. Actually, that's the end of a society. That's where all society is going apart from Christ. You go back and look at some of these heathenish people, and they had a long time ago something much better. But this was the result. Then secondly, we see that they would say death is just a necessary part of the life cycle, but we say, no, this was brought on by sin. And so it says, therefore, just as sin came into the world, just as it entered into the world through one man. Sin came through one man. Of course, before Adam, Satan fell, but that was outside of the world. Okay? But in the world, among human beings, the first sin was in Adam. There was a test of obedience. It was in the Garden of Eden. And God put Adam and Eve in this beautiful garden. Everything was perfect. And God said, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, you may freely eat. And then God said, but here's a tree right in the middle. You can't eat that fruit. Don't eat that fruit. In the day you eat that fruit, you'll surely die. One command. One command. Surely you're thinking, oh, you know, if I was there, only one command, I could keep it. I could do it perfect. No, you couldn't. You're human. Human people were going to sin, and that's what happened. And sin opened the door and came in. It's active here. It enters, it comes, it reigns, it rules, it governs through one man, Adam. And this, of course, reminds us that the story of the fall in Genesis 3 is history. This is what happened. God began things with one couple. They fell into sin, and everything else is the result of that. This is true history from God. When I was attending a so-called religious college, taking a course in church history, they spoke about all these fables in the book of Genesis. And I thought, what foolish nonsense. When God speaks, we listen. The New Testament is based upon that. The whole fact that there's Christ coming to save us is because it was true what happened in the Old Testament. Through one man, sin entered the world. One act of transgression, one act of disobedience that led to guilt and led to depravity. This is what is unrighteousness. It's an attitude of rebellion against God. And it leads to a hatred of God. And all mankind, apart from Christ, is at enmity with God. As it says in chapter 8. And so we as human beings, apart from Christ, live in a fallen condition. And we're no longer perfect. And no one ever was perfect since Adam and Eve. Sin came. It invaded. It broke in. It intruded. The whole world was invaded by sin. This is the doctrine of the fall, and this is the doctrine of the entrance of sin, and this is original sin. This is where it came from. Now, what was the result of that? It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. Okay? When man sinned, the result was death. Death through sin. What did God say to Adam and Eve? In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. They ate of the fruit, and what happened to them? They lived. Or did they? Does God speak the truth? In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But Adam lived to be over 900 years old. Oh, but that day, he died. And that was the entrance of death. It wasn't the entrance a physical death for mankind, but it was the entrance of physical death for the world. That day, Adam and Eve realized that they were naked, and they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. And God said, that'll never do. I will cover you up. And what did God use to cover them up? The skins of animals. What happens when you take the skin off of an animal? It dies. And from the very beginning, we see that in order for there to be a covering, there has to be death somewhere. And that's what happened. Physical death entered the world, and soon here's Cain killing Abel, here's Lamech killing two others, animals are dying. The plant world is full of corruption, thorns, weeds, but especially Adam and Eve died that day, spiritually speaking. Death is a word that just simply means separation. They became separate from God. Physical death is separation from your physical body. You are living in a body, if you didn't know that. Okay. You live in this body till God calls you out of this body. And when you leave this body, your body is dead. Because you're not there. You're gone. You're somewhere else. But even now, there's spiritual death. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, you were dead in trespasses and sins until God made you alive in Christ. So there's spiritual death, and that's what all people have. And then there's physical death, which we will all experience. And there's also eternal death. As it speaks about in Revelation 21:8, the eternal separation. As people, the ungodly are sent to hell eternally, forever. So we have this origin of sin and we have this origin of death. But then it continues there in verse 12. And so it says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so what? Death spread to all men because all sinned. So first we have the origin of sin. Second, we have the origin of death. Third, we have the spread of death. Death spreading to all. Every person that was born after that was born in as a sinful human being. They were not like Pelagius, a blank slate, who could live perfectly if they chose wisely. As it says in Psalm 51, David's great confession, in sin did my mother conceive me. From the very point that I was conceived in the womb of my mother, I was a sinner. And the result of that being a sinful nature, I committed sins. We're not sinful because we sin. We sin because we're sinful. And that's the teaching of the Scriptures. And so death spread to all because all sinned. All are born with this sinful nature, and the result is sin everywhere. All the result of one sin. One man sinning. But then it says, all sinned because all sinned. All sinned in Adam. All sinned in the one man, and then they committed their own sins. And therefore, as a result of that, death became universal among all people. Death results from sin. By the way, even sometimes infants die. We say, well, wait a minute. An infant didn't sin. It was only 3 days old. How could it have ever sinned? Why did it die? Because it had original sin upon it. It was born sinful. And even though it didn't commit any acts of sin, it died because of sin. the result of Adam's sin. All has sinned. This is the spread of sin leading to death in all people. You say, all infants that die, died because they're sinners? They're sinful? Because they're sinful. Well, where do they go? Where do babies go if they die? I believe, not everybody agrees with this, but I believe that they all go to heaven. I believe that God does a work of grace in saving every one of them. Because God is a merciful and loving God. What did David say? Bathsheba had a baby and the baby died shortly after birth. And David said, I can't bring the baby back, but someday I'll go be with him. I believe David was a believer. He went to be with the Lord. So did the baby. You say, well, how's the baby saved? Well, how are you saved? Well, I'm saved by an act of my will. I have chosen to believe in Jesus. And an infant can't do that. Well, now here's where you're misunderstanding something. Remember what we said in Ephesians 1? You were dead in trespasses and sins until God made you alive. And that's when you believed. I believe that God takes a little baby as it's dying and creates new life and brings it to heaven. And that little baby is born again. Just like we're born again. It wasn't of our own will. Read back again John 1, 12 and 13. It's not by the will of man that anyone is born again. By the working of God in our hearts, and our response is an act of repentance and faith and trust in Christ, because we've been given new life in Jesus Christ. But because of sin, death has spread, and death has come upon all men because all sinned. Not all in the likeness of Adam's sin, but we're all sinful human beings from the point of conception. But then we look at verses 13 and 14. And we see the spread of sin. It says, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Now that is kind of a strange verse. Sin was in the world, but it wasn't counted? What is this talking about? Well, he's talking about before God gave the law in Exodus chapter 20. When Adam sinned, what did he do? How did Adam sin? He disobeyed a specific command of God. Right? After Adam sinned, everybody continued sinning. But did they have a specific command of God they were sinning against? No. Although they had the law of God written on their hearts. But they didn't have a written law and a written command that they could say, I transgress this command, because it wasn't given yet. And so in that sense, it says that this was not counted or reckoned. And this is a little bit different word than the one that came previously about the reckoning. But there's nothing written down in the book because you didn't break a commandment. That's the point. And yet there was still sin. People were sinning against what they knew was the right thing to do. And so all have sinned. All were born in sin and all commits acts of sin. Sin was in the world. Now the Jews have trouble understanding that there's sin apart from the law, but that's going to be further explained later on in the passage as well. Well, then the question comes, how did we sin in Adam? Sin was in the world before the law was given. Sin wasn't counted where there is no law, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, because he disobeyed a specific command of God. But how do we sin in Adam? Well, there's a couple different possibilities. Perhaps they're both true. One says that in Adam was the totality of all human beings that were ever going to live. You want to trace your ancestry? Y'all go back to Noah and y'all go back to Adam. So we all go back to somewhere in the Middle East. Okay? We were all, in a sense, in Adam. It's interesting, in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, it tells about Levi. Levi, you know, the priestly line, they're the ones who receive the tithes. And it says, well, there was a way in which Levi, who received tithes, actually paid tithes. You say, well, when did he pay tithes? Well, he was in Adam when Adam paid tithes to Melchizedek. You say, wait a minute. That was a long time before Levi was born. God says, he gets credit because he was in Abraham. How is he in Abraham? Well, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Levi. And it was of that tribe that the Levites came, who ended up receiving the tithes. And so they were in a sense, in Abraham, and paid tithes. That was the point of that passage. It's a passive tense. They didn't do it physically, but they were credited, so to speak, with it. Just like we were credited, or should we say blamed, when Adam sinned, so that we were in Adam and we are all sinners. That's also what we call the representative view. He was the head of the human race. God made his covenant with him, and it was through him that we were represented. And so when he sinned, we all sinned. And we're all human sinners as a result of Adam's sin. Even though we hadn't committed any sins yet, we were, from the very point of conception, we were sinful. Sort of like an ambassador representing a country. Ambassador messes things up, we all get blamed. Okay? Some people might ask the question, well, how can Adam represent me? I didn't want him to. He didn't have a choice. God decided it. And as we continue on through this passage in coming weeks, we will realize how good that was. Because if we had someone who was the head over the race in whom we sinned, there could be a head over the race in whom we are saved. Someone who could give his life for us and die in our place. And because of that, we are in Christ and we can have eternal salvation. So sin wasn't counted in the same way as it was before, and yet death, people were still sinning. And we see that. I mean, look at the flood. Why did God bring the flood? Because people were so sinful. Why did God judge Sodom and Gomorrah? Because they were so sinful. Why were any of these people judged back then? Because they were sinful. And yet it wasn't counted as against a specific commandment. And yet death reigned. As someone once wisely said, don't go beyond Scripture and try to philosophize too much here. But accept what the Scripture says. In Adam, we're all sinful and we all die. In Christ, we can be made alive. What a difference. But that'll be for coming weeks. Let me read to you what Dr. Barnhouse said about this whole section. He said, the purpose of these verses in Romans 5, 12 to 21 is to explain to all believers that salvation in Christ will provide us with life and power now. In order to obtain this righteousness, this life, and this dominion, we must realize that we are joined to Christ. And to understand our union with Him, we must understand our union with Adam. We are inseparably joined to that original man, created in the image of God, who lost that image in the fall, or at least partially lost it. through oneness with Adam, were partakers of sin, of death, and of judgment. But by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can become partakers of his life, endowed with his righteousness. The earlier chapters of Romans dealt with the outbreak of sin in all human beings, considered not as sin, but as sins. Not the poison in the bloodstream, but the effects caused by that poison. But here God is discussing not sins, but the poison, which is original sin. Which this simply again means, we have sinned because we're sinful in Adam. In Adam, I'll die. But in Christ, there is new life. Have you trusted in Christ? Have you received this new life? You know, if you have life, it'll be seen, right? I mean, I think most of you, I think, could tell the difference between someone who is dead and someone who's alive. If you've really received Christ, you have new life. And it ought to be able to be seen in your life. May it be seen. May it be seen. May you trust in Christ and no longer be an Adam, but be transferred from the one kingdom to the other and now be in Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word today. Oh, the sadness of it all, that all are born in Adam now. We're sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, and we're born sinners. But then we sin. Oh, but Father, thank you that you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. And as many as receive him, to those who believe in his name, who trust in him and him alone for their eternal salvation, are saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, the call of faith, is saved. Oh, Father, help us. Work that work of regeneration in hearts. Bring about salvation. May you add to the church daily such as are being saved. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.